Do tonight's via Te Reo Irirangi o Te Hiku Media, Ngā Mihi. Also, I'd like to welcome our guests who are with us to discuss the kaupapa of the Three Waters Reform, something quite important that's happening that affects a lot of our communities throughout Aotearoa, and we'll be elaborating more on that. First and foremost, Ngā Mihi kia kaurua e te papa Shane Jones. Kia ora, Ngā Mihi kia koe.
Kia ora, tēnā tātou.
Kaurua hoki, Anna Brown, no te hikutu, Ngā Mihi, thank you both for joining us all. I'd like to get right straight into these pātai that I've been spending a lot of time just thinking about the subject of the Three Waters. Now, it's a kaupapa that's been introduced by the government. It's about, basically, seems to me, Shane, you might want to kōrero more about it, but it seems to me a bit of a centralisation process in regards to our fresh drinking water, our waste management and flood management, and allowing better access to all throughout Aotearoa to fresh drinking water. Now, with the effects of climate change, with the depopulation of our cities, and us in the north particularly, seeing more and more whānau moving home to the regions, how good is this water reform? Has the government really thought things through? And people like myself and Anna Brown, who's there in Hokianga, are we going to see the benefits of this reform?
Kia ora.
Kei koe te wā, Shane. Pihi o
whakau. Oh, okay. Well, when I was a minister 2017, 18, 19, 2020, a significant amount of work happened under the leadership, I think, of Nanaia Mahuta. And you need to trace this kaupapa back to the crisis that took place in Hawke's Bay in the Havelock North. You may recall drinking water was infected and people got very ill and there were some fatalities down there. Then there was the inevitable investigation and it was found that the model, which is really with the local council down there, was not fit for purpose. The health department, which itself is being restructured, if I'm not mistaken, by Minister Andrew Little, they were unable to monitor and deliver outcomes. And New Zealand First, when I was there, we had grave doubts about not so much the moral case of solving the problem, but the various structural options that would be looked at. However, COVID came. We got tossed out on our normal, and now we've got the model. Do I think the model will take place? Not before the next election. I don't think you'll see significant progress prior to the next election because legislation has to be passed. And there's just, seems to me, a tremendous amount of divisiveness over the issue within all the local councils. That's my opening pitch anyhow.
Kia ora. Looks like Nanaia Mahuta is wanting local council to actually administer these reforms. Definitely we don't want a repeat of what happened down in Heretonga, that I think, believe there were actually four deaths due to drinking very toxic water. Now, for us in the north with the Far North District Council, you know, particularly in areas like Kaiō, we see flooding happening on a regular basis. And there's been many hapū and whānau that have gone before the Waitangi Tribunal to actually prove that district and regional council are not doing a good job in terms of managing our infrastructure, particularly us in the north, of course. So my question is, Shane, why would this be something that's good for us if the council is or, you know, hasn't got a track record, very good track record as it is? Is it something that Nanaia and the government's just dumping on the regions, on regional council to manage, similar to the SNA, the significant natural area proposed legislation, when we saw the likes of the Mayor John Carter say, actually, we're not ready for this. Is this potentially something that's rolling out a bit too hard and fast with not enough consultation to those that are affected? And that is my main concern. Are there any other options? Are there any options?
Okay, so I'll answer this and then I'll hand it over to Anna, because I'm very keen to hear other perspectives as well. But I would say this. This is about drinking water. This is about storm water. And this is about wastewater. Now, historically, our small communities in Taitokero have had their own wastewater schemes. There's one in Kohukohu. There's one in Coke. There's one in Rawere. And they were developed, interestingly enough, I've given you just several examples. There's one in Hihi, where all my mokos live. They were developed back in the 1970s. It certainly may have been a little bit earlier. This proposal is planning to collapse all of those wastewater schemes. There's one, for example, in Paihia that regularly breaks down. Bring all of those together into one massive organisation that will stretch from somewhere near Waikato up to Te Rerenga Wairua. And that organisation will be dominated by Auckland, without a doubt. It does not really pertain to floodwater. So other than the effect that a flood might have on a malfunctioning sewage scheme. And I don't want to go into the yucky details, but the management of flood, the effects of floods on our environment, that's not really going to be picked up by Three Waters. Then there's going to be four massive companies created. And then one of the major criticisms of the new companies is who will own them. Who will the managers be accountable to? Who will the directors be accountable to? And if you think that Kerikeri and Kaikohe are not accountable at the moment, just imagine what it's going to be like where the largest source of power is going to be Watercare, which is Auckland's own water company. So if you're really into local democracy, this is unlikely to work. If, however, you believe the only way that the North can solve its drinking water challenges, its wastewater challenges, and its stormwater challenges is to fold them into a big, powerful organisation that will be one of the biggest companies in the entirety of New Zealand. It'll be like our big energy companies, Meridian, Contact Energy, and Genesis. So that's the scale. So those are the three things. What does it mean for tangata whenua in Taitokero? As I understand, Nanaia Mahuta is creating a model where the iwi will have 50% of the say over the directors. I personally think that's a joke. That's just a diversion. And my fear is that once these companies get up and running, if there's not good accountability, whatever you want to see take place in Kaio, Hihi, Hokianga, other small Māori communities, you will be just a little insect on the rear end of a big corporate elephant.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Shane, thank you. Ngā mihi ki a koe. Anna, what are your thoughts? Could this potentially see the privatisation of our water, and how will Māori obviously be placed in all of this, particularly Māori, whānau and Hokianga? Tell me what's happening in Hokianga and your thoughts there.
So I am one of the trustees on the Whirinaki Water Board. We early in 2020, actually, we put forward a collective provincial growth fund application, and we were successful in that. And that application was an opportunity for six communities in the Hokianga to come together and see what they can do to build their resilience in the water space, particularly reticulated water and water tanks to the whare. We were successful in getting that funding, and we're quite fortunate in each community. So there was Whirinaki, there was Pākanai, Waima, and on the other side was Mitimiti, Pangaru, Motuti, and Motukuraka. All of those six schemes all came together, all at different phases of their own water schemes. Whirinaki and Pākanai were well established. We've been up and running since the 1999 floods, successfully providing water to our Whirinaki community and to our marae. And also Pākanai, they're the same. They're in the same boat. They'd already had their water scheme in place for quite some time. The other communities, they came on board because they could see that we were already managing our plants and taking care. Admittedly, you know, we're not self-sufficient as far as Pūtea goes, but we have been able to provide our water to our whānau without too much issue. During the droughts, we had our own kaupapa and tikanga in place so that whānau that had the larger storage tanks, we could shut those, shut the water supply off to those tanks, to the houses, and then manage that water supply, because other whānau were needing to come to other valleys to come and top up their tanks from our water, from our awa. It was good for us because it gave us our own self-determination in that space, and we've been doing it for 20 years successfully. And Pākanai, so Pākanai are an excellent example. They've got a fully automated system, pretty much. They can run their plant from their iPad. And, me being an IT, I was extremely envious of them, because, you know, our water plant has a lot of manual processes still involved. So the uncles, when there's a break in the line, they'll have to walk the lines for maybe 3 or 4 days until they find the fault. Pākanai is a little different. They can get to fault finding a lot quicker. Our Waima, they've just put in their flash new unit, which is in a shipping container. And that's going to be start feeding to their marae into their community out there. And then the other whānau over the other side, Mitimiti, Pangaru and Motukuraka, they're just re-establishing their schemes. Oh, Pangaru's already been in place, so it's just a couple of tweaks that we put in place for them to be able to future-proof those. The downside, hearing about three waters, it came after we started doing this mahi. But the good thing is that we were able to show them that as a collective, we were solving solutions, water solutions, for a large number that are largely neglected by FNDC. During the droughts, those whānau would have had to heavily rely on water tanks, tank trucks coming out to supply to them. Our project was already in flight. The announcement of three waters came forward. And the great thing was, is we were already working as a collective with our six schemes. We became fully invested in any hui that was that popped up. So the Ngāpuhi Runanga, when they hosted their three waters hui with the experts that went around and did the due diligence, a few of us went and popped in to listen to what was going on. And there was extreme concerns from whānau, from iwi and hapū, around where does Māori sit in this space? We came in at the end of the hui, and so as we spoke and talked about how we were running our own schemes, it actually was news to the experts that did the due diligence. They didn't actually know there were community-owned schemes in Taitokerau and hapū-owned schemes. So that just showed a big gap in their feasibility study, that they obviously didn't get on the ground and actually talk to the whānau. And the whānau that were sitting in the room that day, it gave them a bit of hope that, okay, so there are community schemes out there. What can we do to possibly do that same thing? Because they were worried that they're going to get swallowed up under the Auckland umbrella and they're going to be neglected for another 30, 50 years without anything happening for them. So that is a big concern for everyone up in Taitokerau. Yeah.
Kia ora. Interesting. Anything to add to that, Shane? Like to add to that, just, you know, it just seems that the government hasn't affected.
I believe that marae should be exempt. The new companies will have the powers to enter the marae. I think that's wrong. I know that they've tried to soften that part of the legislation. I do think that what Anna's talking about, I think all those schemes will close down and they'll be taken over by from Auckland, like the one in Te Kohl. And I think that's very sad. And I thoroughly disagree with that, because the new regulations, they will be developed at such a high level of compliance that these small schemes that are run by a lot of voluntary effort and hapu, they'll be closed down, and you'll get a whole lot of in many cases, it'll be foreign engineers. There won't be Pākehās, certainly won't be Māoris. There'll be a lot of foreigners, and because a lot of immigrants have ended up holding these sorts of jobs in our utilities, which is why, if I have my way, this thing needs to be refocused and leave well alone our marae, the rangatiratanga of hapu, and just because people down in Havelock North got poisoned, I don't believe that should be used as a basis for closing everything down. Mark my words, these little water schemes, like the one in Te Kohl, indeed the one in Maunganui, there's a water scheme in Maunganui. I spoke some time ago to the owner, Te Tamaitia, Jack Sutton. I forget the name. And they run a scheme that gives people water. I have no doubt in my mind that will be closed down. So this is all about centralization. And centralization corporate models do not have scope or place for community empowerment of the nature that Anna's talking about. Now, I remember that very bad flood. At that stage, one of Anna's whanaungas, Mr. Kyle, was the building inspector. And one of the things that, I think it was the Jenny Shipley government, Hini, about 98, 99, Tau Henare was the Minister of Māori Affairs. So they had to elevate and lift a lot of the houses up. They lifted some up in Pākanai. It was particularly wicked in Pākanai, Te Hikutu, and Pangaru. Now, whilst there was a lot of rain around, the most severe impact of that flood, and I think if I'm not mistaken. Now, I wasn't a politician at the time, but I was on the Taitokiro Trust Board, so we had quite a bit to do with ensuring that the government of that time did very practical things for Ngāti Manawa, Te Hikutu, and the whānau over there, Ngāti Korokoro, in and around there. So just to recap, these are community initiatives that Anna's speaking about, and they should be celebrated, and they should be protected, and they should be evolved. But the moment they're folded into an organisation where the chief executive officer will not even know where Hokianga is, let alone Te Hikutu, they'll be in Auckland, and they'll be and who will they be accountable to? They won't be accountable to Calvin. They won't be accountable to Winston Peters or the Prime Minister. They will be accountable to an electoral college. Who's the electoral college? That apparently it's going to be 50% iwi and then 50% the councils, and that's why I think that's just a smokescreen. It's a diversion. So if I sound cynical, it's about the structure. I agree that we need to clean up our wastewater, but not at the cost of disempowering local communities.
We also use that opportunity to do some lifting of capability. Yes, I think the
kia ora could easily be sold just 100%.
So the organization that's going to be doing creating the standards, the health standards for certification, they attended
a workshop. Is that
That's the Taumata Arawai.
Ah, yes. Yeah, yeah. So we put 40 of our whānau through the first level of certification for that. There was hesitation at first because the succession planning.
Around the standards for water quality, is that right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, correct. That's right. Yeah, so they did their first cohort of whānau that went through. They, I think it was about 6 weeks of training.
Kia ora, Anna.
And celebrated that.
Just for
yep, you can go.
Yeah, I understand that it looks like there'll be maybe a Māori model for that certification process based on you know, tikanga Māori. However, really it goes back to a Māori in the position to actually own the water and control the water, and the looks of this program, it doesn't seem so. Just to conclude our kōrero, it's been quite hard and fast tonight. We've talked about, you know, the last 20 years and how our water quality and the management of quality and full access to that, particularly in the north, has not been at its best. And will the next 20 years be improving? I see, Shane, there's about $180 billion potentially to be invested into this water scheme, the creation of jobs. Now, Anna, you're an IT expert. Do we actually need more jobs, or do we need better services? Just to finish our kōrero, just tell me about your hopes and your thoughts for going forward, and particularly for your iwi of Hokianga. Is it about ownership? Is it about governance? Is it about management?
Oh, that's a big one. I think a large part of it is around the ownership side of it, isn't it? You know, we don't actually want Pākehā coming along and telling us, but when it comes to the opportunity with technology, the artificial intelligence, AI, there's lots of opportunity, because I've watched my uncle, I've heard of my uncle climbing those hills, that maunga, every week for 20 years, and he's still doing it today. And, you know, there's smarter ways of doing things. I'd love to be able to give him an iPad and say, Uncle, this is how you could do it. And it'll bring our young ones more interested into being involved in those schemes too, opening, bringing them into that world with technology. Yeah, yeah. But then,
it's no fun finding the waterline, is it? And just again, congratulations to our hapū of Hokianga who have maintained their own ways of managing water for so long. Shane, am I being a cynic thinking nothing much is really going to change, a whole lot of money going somewhere, and still myself and Motuto Matawai, I've got to supply my own water?
Well, the government's only got about 15 months to try and bed what's a massive reform. They're also got to try and bed in a new health system. They also got to try and take us out of all this mandate drama about, fortunately, I'm not talking about the Ngāpuhi claim. I'm talking about COVID when I used the term mandate. There's also, Lord only knows, wahine mā, what the hell's happened to the consolidation of all the politics. So I'm just being really practical. You can only achieve so much in a period of time when you're a government, you're a politician, and I think there's just too much white water, without sounding too trite, to bed this down before September, October 2023, which is next year. But most importantly, and I'll sign off here, the eventual system and the eventual legislation has to provide safeguards for our Taitokero Māori communities. I think it's great what Anna's described, that we use technology and we train whānau up in terms of what are the best ways to ensure that the quality of the water continues to be at a high level, and it can still be delivered in the event of bad weather events. But any notion that a corporation is going to be incentivized to take care of these small communities is grossly, in my view, mislaid. So that's the challenge, how to address local democracy whilst at the same time bring together the power of a big pūtea to solve some of the bigger problems in Paihia and other areas. But I think where hapū and small marae are involved, there should be specific provisions in the legislation to protect their rights. And if they're not protected in legislation, then, as I said, you'll be like an insect under a big, huge political steamroller.
Yes, tautoko. Absolutely. A critical issue for us going into the future, especially with climate change, all of these effects on our environment. We need to make sure we can self-supply and own our water here, particularly for us in Te Taitokiro. Thank you both for joining us this evening, Shane Jones and Anna Brown. I'd love to stay in touch to talk more on Whitiwhiti Kōrero about all of these issues. Kei bua ia tātou aha koa te aha, tēnei au huri huri kia kaha tonu tātou I roto I te tika. Nō reira, aku mahi katoa. Thank you, Paul Marie. Thank you again.
Ngā mihi. Ngā mihi kia tātou.
Ngā mihi.
Kia ora. Kia ora, listeners. Thank you.